Hello, this is Yoga, Chai and a Dog, your podcast hosted by Deepak and Archana. Hear them discuss various topics related to yoga, health and wellness. So, on to your hosts now.
Hello listeners, here we are once again on the VE Day. It's a day of courage, you know, where the entire world, and especially in Britain, where we are celebrating the end of World War II, we are praising the courage of a number of people who took part in World War II. And on this day, what other topic than to discuss courage? And it's also very special for us. We call it courageous. Why? Because this is our 25th episode running.
Ooh. Yeah, that's
a
courage.
Yes. It's a courage. Well, we'll discuss that later. But I don't know if you've noticed, there's a new intro, there is a new artwork, and I think some shout-outs are in order. So my first shout-out goes to Aditi Mohan, my daughter, of course, who did the voiceover for the intro. Then my shout-out goes to Madeline Ashman, Maddie, and Edward Crossword. We got them to do our new music, intro music and outro music, and man, doesn't it sound good? So thank
Absolutely
you very much, Maddie.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Now, when we started off about this courage, well, actually the topic was suggested by Archana. Okay, but then we had some divergence of opinion about what do we want to discuss in courage? You know, courage means a lot of things to a lot of people. And then we had an idea. Why don't we reach out to our listeners? Why don't we ask them what exactly do they mean by courage? What do they think of courage? And can they actually give us an example of courage in their day-to-day life? Something that they have done, something that they have heard. And thank you, listeners. Thanks a lot. We got some good responses, which we'll be sharing and which we'll be discussing in today's episode. But before I continue to hog on the microphone, Archana, what do you say?
I would start with courage because it's very close to my heart. And I attended a workshop with Brené Brown. If you know, she's a researcher in shame and vulnerability. So she started her workshop with this quote. And this quote has it has given me such mark on my heart. And every time, you know, I have started doing a lot of YouTube videos. And I know we are, you know, when you are doing it, you are very exposed. And you really think that people are judging you the way you look, the way you speak or whatever. But it is a courage. So I would love to share this quote with you. Hope I am pronouncing it well. Theodore Roosevelt. Yeah, he was the president of US. So his quote is, It's not the critique who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doers or deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena. Just listen to this one. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best know in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. So that this place shall never be with this cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. So it's something, and I would break it because when you are doing something, you are in the arena. So don't look at people who are watching you, because the thing is, they are not doing the thing what you are doing. So that is courage. And you are there, and who matters is who are in the arena with you, who are playing that game with you. Those people matter. So this gives me a lot of courage. What do you think, Deepak?
I think that's good. And you know, typically what happens when we think of courage, what comes to our mind are the heroes, either the real life heroes, on the screen heroes, performing superhuman effort. That's a typical, like, at least in my mind, that is what comes, you know, when we talk about courage. But then courage is just not about that. courage is, to me, courage is about identifying an opportunity where you can do things differently than you have done before, something which you would not ordinarily do, and you know, and then acting upon it. What do you say?
Yeah, it's really true. But with our listener, what they have shared or what we would share our experience, it's courage comes in a time when we are very vulnerable, when we are really like, we know that, you know, we have worked on it and we are ready to be exposed. We are ready to be as naked as we are. And that's courage. And people just show up in their game. And especially in this virus time also, you are seeing people who are really doing something amazingly beautiful. And, you know, that's a courage. They don't know whether this would be called courage, yes, or anything. So, yeah, you
there
are
was,
right.
There was no template. And I think that's a very good thing that you touched on, that this in these times when the world is struck by coronavirus, there are a lot of curtailments on your liberty, on your how you spent your daily life, how you went about doing your work, and you can see there are a number of people who are being impacted by it, and people come out and do their own things. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. One person decided to come out of the house on a Thursday evening and clap for the NHS workers. And that has become a national phenomenon in UK. Every Thursday at 8, people come out of their house and clap for the care worker. One person, 98-year-old person, 99-year-old person, who was invalid, he said, okay, he's going to walk in his lawn.
I think that is an example of courage.
Yes.
Clapping, I would say that it's a really nice gesture, but it's still a sentiment. It's nothing big. But the thing is that old person who was 99.
Colonel Thomas Moore, he's 99-year-old, invalid. He walks with a Zimmer frame and he wanted to do something. Now, what can he do? He could have very well said, oh, I could have done a lot, but I'm so sorry, I'm 99-year-old, I can't walk, I can't go out of my house. But no, he decides to walk in his lawn and continue walking, and he wanted to raise 500,000. He ended up raising 30 million and still going on.
Yeah.
That is,
yeah, that's,
I mean,
courage.
You know,
yeah.
So courage is identifying your opportunity, understanding your limitations, and within your limitations, doing something which you would not have done or which counts as being extraordinary. If you do not understand your limitation and you do something extraordinary, yes, you might succeed, but that's risk. That's risky. That's dangerous. That may be dangerous.
Now, again, look at this quote. What it says that still that person has courage to show up. And you know, whether I have limitation, I'm not saying like when I posted my yoga video or anything, I'm not perfect in anything what I'm doing. But that's a courage for me, because there are much better yoga teachers and yoga people who are doing things. But that's a courage to show up and say that, okay, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm doing. And I think we all have limitation, but still we show up in our game. And we are in the arena. I love this concept. We are in the arena. We are very much in the game. And that is a courage.
Yeah. And I've got a very interesting point. But I'll first give an example and then talk about it. So probably 9 months ago, we decided to start this podcast. How many people would have listened to our podcast? We didn't know. Would any person even listen to podcast? I didn't know. But I had that passion. I wanted to do this podcast. And I convinced Archana, and then together we started running this podcast. Yesterday, I was just looking at the stats from my podcast host. We have got listeners in 52 countries out of 157 countries in the world. We have got 52 countries where people listen to our podcast. I would have loved to visit all those countries, but thankfully my voice does. Yeah. And we have got over 1,000 downloads. We have got more than 50 active listeners who actually subscribe and listen to our podcast. And I'm really proud of it. So why I'm saying this, why I'm giving this example, I could have said, oh, sorry, oh, you know, who would listen to it? Oh, no, I would make a fool of myself. But I said, what the hell? I wanted to do this act of quote-unquote courage, fueled by my passion. So the question is, Does passion play a role in courage?
Yeah, definitely. I think what he is saying is something which is like, by passion we do things, and whatever people like us who are doing things like this, you know, making videos, making podcast, making, you know, writing books, this is the passion. Passion definitely comes into play. But when we are talking about courage, Deepak, I feel like, you know, for me, courage was, I still think when I count that courage is something. When I lost my baby and I opt for the second baby again, so that was, as a mother, that was a courage. It might not be on any video or YouTube or anything, courage like these things. It's in day-to-day life we show up in our game, and we really think that, I personally feel that's a courage.
I think that's a very good place, and I would like to play what we received from Dr. Sandhya Sharma. She is a professor at Delhi University, and she decided to share her story. So let's listen to her story for a bit.
Hello. I would like to tell you about my decision to support my niece, which was actually not a thoughtful decision, but it was just because of my everyday sufferings, which I was undergoing due to the separation of my niece. Actually, in 2012, we were about to go to our nuclear families after our joint family got split. Then, because of the family feuds, I had to leave my niece for, say, at least 4 or 5 months. My niece and widowed Bhabhi, who was very young. I had brought up my niece just like my own daughter. And others in my family, my brothers, my married sisters, they were not actually so much attached to my niece. So when we got separated and I was being compelled not to meet the two because of the family feuds, the conflicts, I was undergoing severe pain, torture, grief. Every day I used to cry. I used to beg my brother, who was staying with me, that he should allow me to go and take care of my niece. They were staying not very far away from my college, and I started going to meet them. Concealingly, I never revealed it to my brother that I'm going and meeting them. So I used to take care. When I went there for the first time after 3 months, I found them in great obscurity. They were eating bare minimum, as my housewife, homemaker, Bhabhi, without much qualification, she could not do. My niece joined at the age of 16, a profession of dance trainee, leaving the school. So then I went there. It was out of my everyday problems, everyday torture, everyday emotional crisis I was undergoing, that gradually I decided to take care of them. So gradually I continued to go there from my college, help them, give them the necessary things, provide for. Then I asked my niece not to go for dance, the job of dance trainer. And then I got her admitted to our school. She did her 12th class. Then asked her to go for a professional course. And now after 6-7 years, she has started earning. So this is a kind of thing which it was a decision which I had taken not randomly, or it was just a decision taken because of my emotional outburst. I was not able to live without my niece, and I just wanted to take care of her against the wishes of all my extended family members. This side, I decided to move them to my college accommodation, and I kept them in safe surroundings, and I was meeting now them every day, and I gave them a better life. Today, after my niece has got a job, my widowed sister-in-law, she always keeps on offering a sense of gratitude for the life she says I have given to her. But I believe it is not me who has given. It was my decisions which I was taking on certain occasions. So it was from my routine life, my routine experiences, that I was taking decisions how to make their life happy. And actually it was making my life happy, because had they been in deprivity, then I would have been at great loss. So today I feel satisfied. I think my actions, my decisions have given me a positive result. Thank you.
Right. What do you think of it?
I think she is very courageous. First thing which comes to my mind, when we share our stories, we become really vulnerable. We are coming from a very vulnerable place because our conditioning is we don't share our fault or anything where we feel dejected, sad. This is not our conditioning is we should show our face, which is fearful, brave,
fearless,
courageous.
Not fearful.
Fearless yeah. and courageous. So if we show that, but that's a courage, Deepak.
I was
touched because she shared this story and that shows courage. Yeah,
yeah, and I think, you know, the accompanying mail, she said that she has decided to come out for the first time and share her story. So, you know, talking about a break in your family, talking about your joint family getting disintegrated and then some of your nearest and dearest relatives not being treated well, is something that requires a lot of courage. So hats off to her for the courage to come out.
Definitely.
Then again, hats off to her for the courage to take a stand based on a conviction, based on her emotion, and based on the love of her niece. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has paid off, as
yes.
you can see.
Yeah.
So that's really so.
And I personally feel like courage is something when I did my workshop here in UK for the first time. English is my second language. And the bravest thing what I said in that workshop I still remember was that, look, guys, this is my second language. So I'm not an English professor or anything. But I'm good in the subject what I'm talking about. And you can ask me question twice or thrice if my accent is not clear to you. That's a courageous thing to do. We are built by these small movements of courage.
Yeah. I would also like to bring in a message that we received from Ipsita Pandey in Lucknow, India.
Yeah.
I was really touched by her story. I was touched. I was kind of, not exactly touched, but I was, it gave me a very good feeling. Mm-hmm. I saw a perspective from the kid's side. So here she was.
From a young woman.
From a young woman. Yeah.
From a young woman.
Here she was, who had ventured out of her house for the first time. And let's listen to it and then we'll come.
I guess the truth about being courageous is at the time you don't even realize you're about to do something so powerful. You just do what you have to do and later realize how much resilience you have within yourself. I think one of the most courageous acts of my life was moving from Lucknow to Bangalore on my own. So I was right out of school and I'd never gone anywhere without my folks before that. But the day I got accepted to Christ University, something made me decide that I should go to Bangalore alone and begin this new journey of my life. Now you have to understand, Bangalore is exactly 1,500 kilometers away from Lucknow. People there spoke a completely different language to ours. But at the time, none of that mattered to me. It didn't even occur to me how tough the road was going to be until I reached there and realized the only way I could communicate was through gestures and a few key English words. I roamed around the streets of Bangalore alone and found myself a hostel around college. I set up my room on my own. I then went to the university and got myself admitted. It wasn't until I sat for my university orientation when I realized what I was actually doing. Every student had their parents or guardian around them. I still remember this mother came up to me and asked me where my parents were. And then I told her I was all by myself. The awe on that woman's face made me realize that I was doing something unusual.
So, that was very interesting. You know, as parents, it's not that we who let our kids fly. Sometimes, you know, the kids themselves try to take that first flight. Here was this young lady, this lovely young lady, who took her first flight with a lot of apprehension, lot of fear, but then she decided to strike it out.
And her courage story, if you would see, she has made other people courageous too around, you know, she made her mom and father believe that she could be on her own, she could fly, she could do things. And especially in India or any places where young women, they come out, it's really very hard. It's very hard because we, you know, I protect my daughter like anything. And if she goes out on her own, and I know she can do it very well. So that's a part of her also, and that's what stuck to us, that as a young person, what they go through. So that's a really nice one, Deepak.
So here is a question. We heard two stories coming from entirely different perspective. What triggers that courage?
You know, when we are doing strength training, so we have one concept of strength, absolute strength, that is called absolute strength. And that is done just one rep. So like if I can just take 110 deadlift, if I'm doing 110 deadlift, I can't do 110 deadlift like 10 reps or 8 reps or whatever. But one that, so most of the time when we give, you know, there was an example of absolute strength is something like a child who is under, you know, suddenly a child comes under a car. And there is a lot of examples in the world where mom or father has just taken that car out and pulled that child under that car. So that's from under that car. Yeah. So when I relate with it, I feel like that's an absolute strength. That is called absolute strength. That maximum, your maximum strength comes that. So maximum strength comes with a very strong mind and in a second that comes. A person who has never gone to gym or anything, how can he move a car or how can she move a car or anything big like that? Because at that moment, something happens in their body and they just immediately comes out. And so one type of courage is this, where you can just, you don't think about it. One type of courage, which I feel like doing whatever we were talking about, workshops and all, we practice, we really like keep on churning without people noticing what we are doing. So practicing your stuff and just making it worth. So that once you are a bit of a, you know, you're not 100% sure, but still you got much more, it's the consistency of the work what you do, and then you show up as a courage. So this is the second type of courage, what I think, you are about to say something.
Yes, I actually wanted, on the first part where you said that sudden instinct where you do things.
You have
which
got
are,
a listener who has talked about that.
I was just going to come to that. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's listen to this first. This was sent to us by Dr. Anurag Mishra from India. He's a professor. As he started off saying that, you know, people in his professions are not expected to be courageous. But hey, listen to his story.
Hello Deepak, hello everyone. This is Dr. Anurag Mishra. I am in teaching profession in India. Okay, the most courageous thing I did, because we are in that profession in which we are not supposed to do so many courageous things. But I had once, I think, was a courageous step I took. It was something around 2010, we had an examination. The candidates were not our regular students, they were appearing in our college as one of the centers in the city, and I was internal examiner of that particular batch. Everything was fine. After an hour or so, I heard some noises coming from behind my lab, so I just inquired what's happening, and I was told that there is some writing in those rooms where the candidates were throwing chairs and tables on staff. So what I could do, my first priority was to keep the 60 students which I had in my lab in a safe position. So along with that, there was a lady professor. So what I did, I asked them to bolt the door from inside, and I came out and I asked them not to open at any cost, because my priority was to save and keep them safe, the candidate. And along with that, I called the police number immediately. So by the time I could see people running and throwing chairs on every door which they saw locked or bolted, and using all filthy languages they could use, one of them started to run towards me. So what I had to do, I had to act as if I was one of them. So I said, in the local language to go on the other side. There is a room open and examination is going on, and 3 or 4 people ran to that place. By the time this was happening, I could see police jeep coming inside the campus, and that was the point I had to make a decision whether I am the staff or the candidates creating trouble. Policeman thought me as a writer, so he started approaching me with all intentions of overpowering me. I had to shout that I am the staff and these are the people who are creating noise, and that was the point I had to convince them in few seconds. I didn't have much of time. Quite risky, but there was no option. So that was the thing, I think, most courageous thing I could do in this profession. Okay, bye-bye. Take care, everybody.
So there you go. Here is a professor who started his day probably thinking, okay, he's going to the college and there's an examination going on, and he would just be there as an examiner just to ensure that everything goes on off properly, and then he's back home. But hey, he was actually faced with a crowd of rioters, and the police mistook him for a rioter. And the way he quickly reacted on the cues and was able to show a courageous act and thereby save, 60 students or something.
Yeah.
Which is, as I said, I started by saying, and that's my belief, that being courageous is about identifying the opportunity where you can act. B, deciding how to act by not putting yourself in unnecessary risk. And to me, that is courageous. I know you're giving me a look.
No, I would say no, because when I give you the example of what Anurag has also said, he didn't thought about the risk or anything that time. He thought about the student.
Agreed.
So same with a mom or with a father saving their children or a children saving their parents. We don't think at that time. So courage is not taking assessment of the risk factor. I disagree with that.
It is in a different way
because I would give you an example, Deepak. When I started doing some workshop in India, that was a courage to me, and I was about to say that in the arena, who are there, they will support you. So people who are like that, they might not be doing the same thing what you are doing, but those matter. So I remember that when I was doing the workshop, and you know, I went to India to do the workshop, and my in-laws' house, there was talk about that you should not go and do the workshop there because they were not very comfortable with that concept. But Deepak, I had a talk before talking to them, and Deepak said, no, you have to stand on your ground and say that, no, you are going to do that. So for me, it was something for almost 21 years, I have never spoken for things like that. And I just felt like how does courage feel? And that's very important to know. Courage doesn't feel like you are very strong. Courage feels like your heart is racing like anything. You are sweating.
Blood pressure is high.
Your leg is really wobbly. And my father, I stood against my father when my father said, your father-in-law is saying not to go there and you should not go. I stood in front of my father, and there was my mom, my sisters, and I said that, look, you do what you like, so let me do what I am doing, and you will be proud of what I am doing. So, and no matter what, whether you say it not to go or my father-in-law, mother-in-law, but still I will go and do the workshop. So that was for me, that was really like scary. And I did the same, I had a same conversation with my in-laws, and I did that. So I would say that courage doesn't feel like very strong. You are very strong that time or anything, but something comes up. What I would say that there is people in your life who you really know sometime. Sometime you are all alone. Sometime you are all alone. When you are dealing with this, you are all alone. But I feel the energy of certain people is there with you when you are standing and when you are really like shaky and all. So when I did the workshop, and I thought, so what if my family would accept me as a failure? That's a very important thing to understand, that there is someone who would accept you as your failure also and as your success also. They can take you as you are. So sometimes we show courage when we have support of those type of people around us.
Yeah, we are talking about taking decisions on impulse. But then there's also another aspect where you take a courageous decision or you do a courageous act which belies everything that you believed, that you have believed in so far.
I was just talking. You would not believe this is the first attempt we are doing this one. Every podcast we do it this way. But and I have heard all those, you know, listener who has given their courageous story. So I know this was Hemant.
Our frequent listeners, you would probably have listened to Hemant's story and we aired it on the 27th of September last year. It's a beautiful story of when everything comes up against you, how you rise up to the occasion and how you rediscover yourself. So, but well, please do listen to it. It's an amazing story. We aired it on the 27th of September. Hemant opened yet another vista of that story. Listen to what he has to say.
Hi, Deepak and Archana. This is Hemant Patel. You asked me to talk about the most courageous thing that I did in my life. I think the most courageous thing for me was to decide on stopping allopathic medicine for Vaishali and choose Ayurveda when she was ill with the neurological disease. Until then, allopathy was all we had known. So when the doctors told us about a lifelong dose of steroids for Vaishali, we were very confused. Vaishali was absolutely battered by the disease and the side effects of the steroids. She was in no position to make a decision. She was looking at me to decide. Yes, we had heard of Ayurveda from books and stories, but to put your whole life at stake for something that we have only heard about is a whole different ballgame. And it would have been far, far easier for me if I had to decide this for myself. It did come down to a moment, a yes-no moment, sat in a temple in Pune with the test results that confirmed the neurological disease. I will never forget that moment for the rest of my life. The next 6 weeks of Ayurvedic treatment were absolute hell for Vaishali. And every single day, I suffered with her. Every single night, I tossed and turned, questioning my decision. You know, it's easy to face my past now, to look back at that single moment 12 years ago and to be able to talk about it in this podcast. Because we pulled through. With the blessing of our families, and the remarkable confidence of our Ayurvedic doctor in the treatment and sheer superhuman effort by Vaishali, we pulled through. But it could have gone horribly wrong at any step along the way. And I can only thank God, universe, whatever it is you want to call it, for how things unfolded.
Wow, so there it is. All our life we believe in something. In his case, it was the allopathy. System of medicine.
We all, you know, we are in the system where we have to believe in our government, we have to believe in our allopathy, it's so much embedded. I don't believe in that.
Yeah, we'll come to that later. So this is Hemant's time right now, right?
Yeah.
And at one point of her time, they had to make a decision. Vaishali, given her condition at that time, she passed on the decision to Hemant. And I love the word he says that, you know, if it was me, it was different. If it would have been different, but he was making a decision on someone else's life, which could have long lasting or perhaps, you know, everlasting impact. And I just shudder to think, you know.
I would correct you here. It was not someone else's life. It was something like when you are married and you are happily married. That's the most valuable position you have got. And you are making decision on...
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
But they both made that decision. They both made that decision.
Yeah. His wife would have had to bear the brunt of it, most of it. If anything could have gone wrong, she could always say that, you know, it was you who made that decision. And the enormity, the burden of that thought, that what if my decision goes wrong? I can live my life as I am doing. But then she would have to bear it, and that is where the courage...
Remember, there are so many people who make these type of decision on their... And I look at the alternative therapy a lot, and I know a lot of stories. So there was one mom whose son was given 15 days or something, and the husband was against it. And she took the son away, and she said, I am going to do something now, because if he is gone in 15 days or 1 month, something like that... And she said that I would do what I believe in. And throughout, she believed in alternative therapy. Again, this is a podcast where we are not suggesting you to do anything like this, but I'm just giving you this example. So she took that boy away, and she was in France, and she started looking, and she was working on a lot of research how to. So he was in stage 4 cancer, and he said, I think that was a very courageous decision, because it was not her son only, it was her husband's son too. And but at the same time, she took that vulnerable boy away from a hospital where we really think everything nice would happen in the hospital and people would get cured. Yes, people get cured, people get really happy. I'm not against it. But the thing is, sometimes these type of decisions shows how courageous people are.
Yeah. And again, continuing in that topic of going against your belief or going against your conditioning.
Are doing the same, Deepak. If you would see that we have moved from a place, and people like us who has moved from their own country, and there are, so now we could see it, there is a gap. We are not completely English or we are not completely Indian, but we have become more of a like a global citizen where we can see things in a very different perspective. And it's very courageous, because in this process we are not one with our own tribe, like, you know, our families, extended families, with our views and everything. So that is also courage.
Against the tribe, going out of the tribe, doing things differently is something which is definitely an act of courage. Even overcoming your conditioning, is a very big. So I've been conditioned to think one way, or for whatever reasons, and then suddenly I decide to take a stance and overcome that conditioning, overcome that thought process. So when we received this clip from Ranjan Arora from UK, we kind of listened to it and we looked at each other. But then we heard it once again and we thought,
no, let's listen that, then we will talk about it.
Yeah, let's listen to it first and then let's talk about it. Okay, so here we go.
So, example of being courageous. Quite a few things come to my mind. For example, standing up for a friend and then getting beaten up by 20 other people for that. Standing up for my class and not getting scored for the presentation that I was supposed to be best at. But the thing that I want to talk about is deciding to have a child. I think it's taken as an extension of just getting married or being in a relationship, especially in the Indian culture, where the society expects you or your parents expect you. And at some point of time, even your peers and friends and cousins expect you to have a child as soon as it's been like 2, 3, or 4 years of your married life. For me, it was a very conscious decision, a thought process to go through to understand what it means to be a father. I think it might have been a bit more complicated for me as well, because my dad died when I was 4 years old, so I didn't have a father around me all the time. There were father figures. My mom is a father figure. My brothers, my uncles, my aunts, most of them would have provided me some kind of a fatherly figure to be around. But to be a father was a blank for me to be filled in by myself. I'm calling it a courageous decision because for me to agree and commit everything that is near and dear to me for the well-being of a child and then to bring that child into this world is the best or the most courageous thing to do. I'm creating a new life and I need to be responsible for it. That's all that matters from that point onwards. I need to make sure that I'm available for the child. I'm taking decisions in my professional life to make sure that I'm available for the child and some money is available for the child. There is space available, so there has to be a house that is good enough or big enough for the child. I need to make sure that there is company for the child. So my friendships, my spare time, everything has to go into whatever the child needs. So that's why I think that's one of the most courageous thing that, for that matter, anyone does that. They might not realize that it is one of the courageous things to do without even thinking twice about it. So that's my contribution to a courageous, inspirational story, I guess. Thanks.
Yeah, there you are. So the first thing that, and I'm being very honest over here, the first thing that came in my mind is, what's so courageous having a decision to be a father? That everyone does, right? But then, when he spoke about his early childhood, how he lost his father when he was very young, and how there were other people in the family who played that father figure to him, and somewhere those insecurities had set in, and he decided to overcome those insecurities and be aware of what he needs to provide for his child. And I think that...
That's very courageous.
That is very courageous. And hats off to him. It is all the more courageous to share it publicly.
Deepak, that is why when we listen to anyone's story, and we are not the decider here who is courageous and who is not courageous.
Yeah.
Because for that person, that was a courageous thing to do.
That is a very good point, yeah.
Yeah, and when I listen to Ranjan's story, I think it's I have worked on inner child issue. And when you have your father is a very secretive, your mother is somewhere you can just she makes you feel safe.
Yeah.
She makes you feel much more cared and loved for. But security is, this is our conditioning. Security comes from our father figure, male figure, masculine energy. For a century, something is happening in your family. Yeah. And so like diabetes is genetically. So we call it, okay, if somebody has taken control of their lifestyle and they change their diabetes. I am coming from a family where my father has got diabetes, but luckily I don't have diabetes because of my lifestyle maybe or whatever. When we take this responsibility, we change it. So same with these type of conditioning when this happens. So there is insecurity, there is something, but one person in the family has to break that chain. And in this case, I feel Ranjan has done that. So now when her daughter, she would have her family, she would have a very different concept. And she would move from that insecurity also. What Ranjan still has got something, or maybe he works on, because Ranjan is proving everything differently. So we have the power to break that chain of our own ancestral thing.
I very much agree with you there, because let me share my story.
Yeah.
My father lost his father when he was three, four, almost the same time as Ranjan. Yes, there was a father figure as in his uncle who was just a couple of years elder than him. When I was growing up, when I was a child, my dad ensured that I had everything, and probably that came from a sense of insecurity that he faced. Well, despite coming from a very wealthy family, he almost had to wait on somebody to provide him his necessities, because there was no father figure where he could go to. And that means, but on the other hand, because of that upbringing that I got, I do not have those insecurities.
Yeah.
And hence, I am able to take risks much more than what my father does.
That is courageous thing to do, because you have...
That was my dad's courageous thing to do.
On your part, your dad is really, he really make it sure that you people don't suffer financially at all.
Even feel that there is something lacking. He tried to ensure that what we wanted, he made available.
But what you did was, because there was, I'm his daughter-in-law. So there was some insecurity from him regarding money, or regarding something. But now when I look at you, Deepak, you have broken that, because you really think that, money is important, but money is not everything. Am I right? We are not criticizing anyone, because he has shown his courage in raising his family in a beautiful way.
Cool.
And your father.
Oh, my dad.
Yeah. And you are showing, you have broken that, I would say, lineage, which is like holding the money very tightly. You are really trying to see there is much more than that. So everyone,
guys,
courage
before
is
you
a
get
different...
any idea, I don't have a lot of money, so don't come asking for the money.
Everyone, courage definition is different.
Yes,
it is. Different. But, we might judge people. So rather than judging people, that is what this quote, what we started with, it's really makes sense. Because just when you are in arena, then only you would see people who are stumbling, who are failing, who are coming up again and again and still showing up in their game.
Yeah, and it is very easy to write them off saying as being failure.
Yeah,
saying as
exactly.
having not tried. But yeah. try to put yourself in their shoes and see what they had to go through and what it would have taken to take an act of courage, make a courageous act. Yeah, Archana, you're pointing, you want to say something.
Yeah, I want to share my story about my parents, because I feel like, you know, my father, he was in such a big job, but with all those daughters, our education, marriage and all, so he didn't get a lot of money when he retired. He chose to go back to the village. So he started exploring things, how to earn some money, and he's a very active person. So he opened a small shop where he started selling fertilizer, which was actually he was officer and he knew that skill very well and he knew how to get it. Once I was there and all the thing came from a truck and there was no one to take those bags and all. And he started taking one by one and people, you know, there are a lot of people who talk about my father in a way that he can do anything. And I think This is courage, because he has no shame in showing, you know, you might be very thinking, oh my God, he was such a big officer. Now look at him. He's doing this. He has taught us a very different thing. And I think the support from my mom is something very courageous. She stayed in a village and with my father, she supported. So that's a courage. So it's a common people who each day they are showing their courage, and those matters.
Yeah, when I said that people are very quick to write off others as failure, so they might have written, people, oh, look at him, he was such a big officer, he retired from such a big position, and look, now he has opened a shop and he's selling fertilizers. That's one way of looking at it. And at this point of a time, I would like to bring in the story that was shared by Richa Vatsala from Delhi, India. She was working in, she's a media planner by profession, and she was working in a good place. Because of the toxicity in the office and also because of her own internal challenges relating to her son, she took a very bold act. Let's hear her story.
Hi, I'm Richa. So I'm going to talk about the most courageous thing I've done. So I think for me, I've lived life on my own terms and I've also taken life headlong. A lot of trials and tribulations. We faced so much of adversity and hardships. I went through a bad patch in my career. There were a lot of discrimination of all kinds, but I never lost my perspective and I never lost my self-respect. I took it head on. There were repercussions. Things are not great. It's easier to, you know, just let it go and take the easier path. But I'm happy that I've gone through so much, lots of hardships, lots of tough times. My son was not talking when he was 4, and we were scared that he might be on the spectrum, and there were slight traces of ADHD, and that was very tough. So as a mother, I decided to take time off from my work and devote time to him in his therapies, and by God's grace, today he's speaking well, has absolutely no problems. He's talking, or he's very, very, very talkative now. He can sing. He is as normal as one can be, and he's included in an inclusive program at school. So I'm very happy. There are some hiccups, but I'm sure with time we'll be able to overcome those as well. Also, I think another thing which I feel, which I'm very proud of, is that I'm very honest and upright. I think that's one virtue which has really helped me tide over a lot of sticky situations in life.
A number of us who work in offices, in our work life, we feel stifled. We feel claustrophobic with the environment that it is. How many of us take that decision? How many of us has got the guts to take that decision?
Yeah.
Okay. When she was in the office, she was going through that. Her son was not speaking up till the year of, up till the age of 4. Wow. Our son didn't speak up till the age of 1. And we were...
I think Ash also didn't speak up to 2.5.
Of 2.5, yeah. And we used to get... My sister is a doctor, and my dad's friends and all, they would say, oh, you need to take him to a doctor and get him checked or whatever. And then she decided to completely switch her career and, well, switch off her career, focus on the kid. And we know her. She teaches painting to the kids.
She is such a creative person. Has just molded her life in a very creative way, and a very sweet person, very soft, very kind. But, you know, if you would look from outside, you don't know her story. So that's why I always think that if I judge someone, I have to really say sorry to the person in a way, because we don't know anyone's story when we talk about them. So it's better not to talk about anyone, actually.
Yeah.
And we, as a human, we do. But still, when I see Richa, I always thought Richa is a very confident, young, modern type of a girl. And, you know, and she is. But when I went through her story, I felt like, as a woman working, or most of the women these days, they work, and then looking after a child who is having some issues. And you know the pressure of the families also. I don't know whether she faced it or not, but certainly she must have faced something like that in the society. And then showing up as a mother, as a wife, as a woman, as a person who Richa is. And I think Richa has found her place, and that's so amazing. And she came for my yoga class, and that was my honor to have her in my class. I really think these things makes me feel that this is the arena where I want people like that to come and interact with the things what they like. This gives me courage, actually. This gives me courage.
Well, like, actually, we can go on speaking about courage for a long time. But as it is, this is the longest podcast
we would start talking about our grandparents and have talked a lot about. But, you know, we have to say thank you to our parents.
Yes, we have to say thank you. Number one, thank you to all your listeners for supporting us for the last 24 episodes and listening to this 25th episode.
Yay, 25th.
You've shown courage.
and there are a lot of good things coming on your way, so keep listening
definitely. And a special round of thanks to all our contributors who have contributed. Let me name them once again, not shame them, but name them, right? Dr. Anurag Mishra from Kanpur, UP, India. Dr. Sandhya Sharma, Delhi, India. Ranjan Arora, Basingstoke, UK. Ipshita Pandey, Lucknow, India. Richa Vatsala, Delhi, India.
Yay.
Hemant Patel, Milton Keynes, UK.
Yay. And Lulu.
And Lulu, who has just come over here, but she's not yet there. So,
thank you for listening, guys. Please do not forget to subscribe. Love to hear from you. Our email is yoga.chai.dog@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter at yogachaidog1 or on Instagram at yogachaidog. Bye-bye.
Bye.